Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell, and today I have on Sarah Paris, and we are very excited to be here today. Sarah, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
I just love connecting with people where I feel like, where have you been all my life? So this is fun. And you are my demographic, so this is a very exciting podcast for me. And I really, really am thrilled for you to share your journey on how you became a parent. So jump in.
Oh, I'd love to. So let's rewind. I'm in my mid-40s now. I went to prom with my husband. I asked him to be my boyfriend after prom. He said, no, I like Becky. So that ended. And then fast forward till I'm 33 and he asked me out on a date. So he was really playing the long game. And that's kind of the foundation of our relationship is playing the long game. So we had our first child when I was 36. It was how I like to phrase it is like a dream come true and a nightmare completely realized. Ah. I was in labor for 36 hours after it wasn't an easy pregnancy, but there was no major complications. I thought, I'm going to go into this in a natural way. I have done all my trainings. I've done all my breathing. I got to the hospital. She was like sideways and the cord was wrapped around her neck. And when she came out, she was as blue can be. After forceps, had to take her out. I was badly injured, and I broke my tailbone all in one fell swoop as she came out. And she came out, and then everyone left the room, and I was there in this like stark hospital room and was like completely convinced that I had lost this child that I carried for 9.5 months. And that was the entry into motherhood. Not at all anything I read about, anyone talked to me about, all the things, all the movies you see, how you envision this whole situation beginning. So it wasn't necessarily the best way. She's fine. She was lovely. The strongest kids start in the NICU. That's what I always tell people. And fast forward 6 months, it continued to not be such smooth sailing. I was living in Southern California at the time. And I found myself one night after an incredibly hard day of stay-at-home parenthood with a child that couldn't latch because she had torticollis on her neck, who never slept because she just never slept. And I found myself leaning against a fence, peering over the Pacific Coast Highway, hoping and praying that that shit would break and I would have to end this whole situation that I had come to.
Sarah.
How I got from finding out I was pregnant being the happiest day of my entire life, because it took us a long time to get pregnant, to that 6 months afterwards, to the lowest of low rock bottom is beyond me. But that postpartum situation that people do not talk about nearly enough, and that my doctor basically told me that because I wasn't crying, it wasn't postpartum depression. I had like rage. I had lost every sense of myself. I had done none of the activities that I grew up loving and doing because I couldn't sit. I couldn't exercise. I couldn't lay on my back. I had this broken tailbone and so much internal damage. And then I had this screaming demon child who couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, couldn't do anything all the other babies that I was surrounded with did. And then, of course, I felt guilty because she was pretty healthy. I mean, she had minor things going on. But where was I to complain? Because I basically had a healthy child that will be okay after some therapies. And it just, all of it just wrapped up in this like guilt tornado, left me standing against this fence at the 6 month mark. And I looked out onto the ocean and I was just like praying to God. I just like, I can't do this. My daughter deserves more than this. My husband deserves more than this. Like everyone in my life deserves more than this. I can't do this. Like this wasn't meant for me. You know, somebody else can come in and do a way better job than I could. And as I looked out onto the beach, I saw these two old women with their feet, like the waves splashing them. It was like later in the afternoon, splashing them. And it just kind of reminded me of my mom. It's like her favorite thing to do is to pull up a chair right near the ocean's edge. And as the tide comes in, have it hit her feet. And I started to think about, like, what if my mom was in this situation when I was 6 months old and she decided to end her life, and where my life would be without my mom, who was like my best friend, my rock, my everything. And it made me back up, and I sat on a bench, and then I laid on a bench. And for the first time in 6 months, I did cry, and I didn't stop for a really long time. I don't know how long I laid on that bench, just crying. And I knew something needed to change. And I don't know where the strength in me came from to actually do it, but I signed up for a yoga class the next morning because that was like my, that's what I used to love. I was like, think about something you used to love to do. And it was, I used to love to exercise and I loved yoga. So I signed up for yoga in Southern California, super expensive class. And I dragged myself there and I rolled out my old raggedy mat that hadn't been used in well over a year. And I laid on my side. And I just cried the entire class. I laid there. I did nothing the entire class. I couldn't bring myself to even like come into a child's pose or even stand up when this whole packed room of people and their beautiful bodies and me and my body that I didn't recognize, I couldn't even bring myself to stand up. So at the end of class, this teacher came up to me who I'd never met before because I hadn't been to the studio in like over a year. And she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I know you showed up. And you just need to keep showing up. And that whole walk home, I was just like, I need to show up. I just kept repeating it. I need to show up. I needed to show up for my daughter, my husband, but really most importantly, I needed to show up for myself. And from that day forward, it's not like I revamped my whole life and then everything was rainbows and unicorns, but by teeny tiny little specks of improvement every single day, I started to turn it around. And the whole thing came down to like, I took care of myself in little ways throughout my journey. And then within another 6 months, I was like a new person. I knew who I was again. I started to lose some of the weight, not all the weight. I gained a lot of weight during that first pregnancy, but I started to feel more like a woman and the person that I knew for 36 years before I became a mother.
There's so much I'm going to unpack in this. First of all, it took you a while to get pregnant. We're going to go because, oh my gosh, it made me choke up because we don't talk about this and we need to talk about this. As a matter of fact, just to make a comment about the depression, any woman that I work with that has a history of depression or severe anxiety, anything that's been diagnosed and treated in the past, I let them know, like, we're keeping really close tabs on you. And I've had two women in the past year, one did it on her own. And the other one, I actually had a conversation with her about, like, there are depression, antidepressant medications that you can go on that are fine for breastfeeding. There's no issue. And honestly, that is far better than sinking into postpartum depression, because by the time you're the one in it, and by the time you realize that you're in it, I mean, you're an extreme case, but you are so in it that we have a long way. It's a long haul to bring you back. And if you're not talking about it, and I'm done seeing you at 2 to 4 weeks, like there's, you need to be passed off to someone who understands postpartum depression. And one of my clients, at the 2 week checkup with her baby, advocated, she's like, I want to go back on my antidepressant. I'm feeling okay right now, but I already know who I am. And I don't want to take the chance. And it takes 3 weeks for the medication to get into your system. She's like, I'm not waiting until I'm a puddle on the floor and I can't function.
How smart. Good for her. So for advocating for herself and knowing herself.
Yep. So it would be interesting. We can talk about that, you know, what your process was after. But yeah, I advocate for my clients to advocate for themselves if they know that there's a history there. And it depends on other stuff going on. Cause I'm not like, everybody got on medication, but I'm really good about, we need to talk about this and recognize it. And you need to be a proactive advocate for yourself and your health. So, if that's what you need, that's what you need. And I'd rather have you be a really great functioning parent, period.
Absolutely.
Why, what do you, what was the issue in you being able to become pregnant? I know you're probably considered advanced maternal age because you were 35, which I personally think is total crap, but that's a side note. But what were the issues with getting pregnant?
So we basically decided, like, is we had known each other. We'd been best friends like our whole life, like since we met in ninth grade. We knew when we started dating, like, this was it. Like, it was one of those things that we started dating within 3 months. We were like, this is going to stick. This is going to be your my forever person. So, you know, we pulled all the goalies, pulled all the stops. We're like, if we get pregnant, great, we get pregnant. And then like 3 years went by. And at the last year, we were like really trying. I was charting things. I was peeing on sticks every day. I was doing all the things. And I was that like, quote unquote, advanced maternal age. But we had done all the tests, like everything looked great. Everyone's numbers were good. Like everything was fine. And it basically came down to timing, that my cycle was like short and then it was long. And then it was long and then it was short. It was just, I was never really super regular, which I always knew. But when you're trying to get pregnant, that, you know, that comes down to a real science of that. If someone told me when I was 18 how hard it was to get pregnant, I probably wouldn't have been so careful all those years. But, so it didn't work. So we ended up doing 2 rounds of IUI.
Oh,
okay. And the second one worked. So we didn't have to go IVF. That was our next. They said, we'll do 2 rounds. There's a pretty low chance of it actually working. But it's a lot cheaper than, you know, IVF. So let's try this first. It's worth it. And on the second round, it worked. So I got pregnant. We were ecstatic. It was right around Christmas. And we got to tell our families, you know, it was the first grandchild on both sides. So it was like this extra hype of things, of all of it. And yeah, it was just a long, you plan out your life and then best laid plans. Somebody has different options for you.
And just to let people know, the difference between IUI and IVF is that IUI, the fertilization happens inside the uterus, and IVF, it happens outside. So I call IUI the turkey baster method, basically.
Exactly. Like,
Yeah. That's how great, though. I have another friend, and it was the first round and it worked. And I was like, really? That's great. Because good job trying that first, because you know, you didn't.
And it was, I mean, I had never even heard of it. Cause once again, it's like something we don't talk about. And my doctor's like, well, how do you feel about IUI? And I'm like, I've never even heard of IUI. What is this? Some sort of college nearby? I don't even know.
The University of Turkey Basting.
Yeah, here it is.
Okay.
So I had to go in like all the time. I had to go in like for 14 straight days for them to do an internal exam to see where my ovulation was. And then it came down to, he goes, if this is just timing, this will cure it. And sure enough, it did.
I mean, yay to that. So tough, but good, normal pregnancy. Tell me about your labor and delivery, because how long ago was this? How old is she? She's six?
She's seven. Yeah.
Seven. So 7 years ago, it's not that long ago, but I know things continue to change. And now, like in the state of Nevada where I am, forceps or suction, they use it as minimally as
absolutely. And same with California.
Okay.
Like, it was like, they're like, we have one attempt. We will try this one time. And then you were having a C-section.
Yeah.
But I was in labor for 36 hours and she was like right there. So he was pretty confident that he could get her out. And he did. Like, there was no like no damage for her. It was just the cord was wrapped around her neck. And that's what was causing all the distress towards the end.
Your labor, and 36 hours is a long labor, like 16 to 24 is usually a first time, you know, so that's definitely longer. Were there any other additional complications, or was it just slow?
It was just slow.
Okay.
They gave me Pitocin. It didn't work. They gave me more Pitocin. It didn't work. Like, my body didn't respond to it.
Okay.
And it probably didn't work, you know, hindsight, because the cord was wrapped around like her neck, her body, like it wasn't, even if I was feeling those contractions, they weren't pushing her anywhere because she was pretty stuck.
Okay. So they used forceps, whisked her away. My first daughter, same thing. And it was terrifying, and you don't hear things and you think the worst, and it's just scary because it's not normal, but I'm glad she was fine, but they took her away to make sure. Tell me what you went through from the forceps, and like your tailbone broke. So I really want to know about how that happened. Cause that's go ahead.
People are like, how did you have another child after all of this?
That will be a
like they basically, yes. So essentially they think that she was kind of like nudged in like one side of me, and slowly through labor, through all of pregnancy, my tailbone was slowly going crooked, like the way she was wedged.
Okay.
So as soon as she came out, it went into autocorrect mode, and it just like popped back, and it popped back strong, and it broke in two different spots. So when she came out, he said, you have two more pushes or we're C-sectioning. This is it. Talk about, you know, put it all out there.
Yeah.
No problem. And I was like, okay, I didn't work this hard, this long to have a C-section, because that was like all that was going through my head. And on that first push, it sounded like a gunshot. And I was like, what was that? Like, I didn't feel anything because there was enough nerve damage, luckily, at that point, that I did not feel anything. It was just the loudest sound. And he just looked at me and he was like, we'll talk about that later. Don't worry about it. And I was like, okay, here we are. Push again. She's born. And then almost immediately after they took her out of the room, I was like on my side, being like, what is that? But of course, first time mom, you're like, maybe this is what people feel like, and they don't talk about it. So then the doctor came back in to stitch me up, and they tried to numb everything. They tried at that point to give me an epidural. That didn't work at all. I was screaming at him, like, I can feel everything. Like, you need to, like, something needs to happen. And it was awful. It was almost worse than the birth part, the afterbirth part, because I needed to lay on my back so my hips could be even, so they could stitch me even. And I had a broken tailbone. And at this point, my husband did not tell me this until years later. He's like, it was so swollen. Like, my back and my tailbone area was so swollen. It was like I was lifted up off the bed so much, sitting on like this like pool of swelling, essentially. And I was in agony. And it was like no one believed me. It's like, I was like, does anyone know what's going on? And they're like, first time mom. But they didn't know I had broke my tailbone at that time. Like, they were just like, no, this is fine, honey. This is okay. This is what it's like. And I'm like, who does this? Who would do this again? But I had a lot of internal physical therapy afterwards. And for some reason, another thing that people don't talk about, at that 6 month mark, after I went to that yoga class, I met another mom who had a lot of internal damage. Like, we met through yoga, and she was like, who are you seeing for physical therapy? And I was like, I don't, for nothing, nothing. I mean, they can't do anything for my tailbone. That's what I immediately thought. She goes, no, you got to go to like internal physical therapy. You can help this. And I was like, oh, mind blown. Okay. Yeah. No one recommended that. So then I went to her internal physical therapist, and she changed my life. I mean, changed my life. I never thought that I would ever have sex again, ever. I was like, this is not going to happen.
Oh my
for
gosh.
Me.
Tell me about the internal. I mean, I've broken my tailbone before and been on a donut. It had nothing to do with pregnancy. I fell downstairs.
Yeah.
You know,
that's like a normal way to break your tailbone. That's how most people break their tailbone.
Right. But I mean, it is really painful, and there's really nothing they can do. And it's just a slow heal. I ended up having surgery on my tailbone. Worst thing I've ever experienced. Cause
I can't even imagine.
So, I mean, I understand how hard and awful that is to heal from, especially like postpartum. That would be really traumatic. It would be so much harder to heal from it. But I get like there's not a ton they can do for that. You're on a donut basically, and you're being careful. But I know what internal pelvic therapy can do for you. So what was the damage, did she say? And you don't have, like, I'm not looking for graphic detail, but more like just the assurance that internal pelvic therapy, how much it works. I mean, going from not thinking you'd ever have sex again to so take me through that process.
So I went in and had told her like what I had been through, and it had been a while. Like, at this point, I think I was 8 months postpartum.
Right.
So I had like a big chunk of time. So my tailbone was doing better. It was like sore at times, but it was a big chunk had improved. And she went in, she did an internal exam, and she was like, no wonder why you're uncomfortable and that you don't want to have intercourse. You've healed, but everything's in knots. Like, everything is so tight. It just, you've taken so long. Whereas if I went like a month out, it would have been so much better, because she could have helped it heal the way it should have healed. Not wait 8 months. And I mean, I was lucky. I waited 8 months. Some people wait years until they have this stuff addressed. But at the 8 month mark, my tailbone had healed well, straight. but all everything wrapped around it was like, picture your muscle like in knots. And it was basically in spasm, like all the time, trying to work with my pelvic floor, trying to like balance everything. So everything I did was pretty painful. So it was a lot of internal massage, a lot of pain, like a lot of around the tailbone pain, but definitely it's almost like when you go in for like a regular massage and you have these areas and you're like, oh, it's so painful. But then you walk out of there and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I feel like a different body right now. Right. That's what it was like every time I went in. And it was amazing. I mean, all the pelvic floor people that I've met and the physical therapists I've met, I mean, I took my daughter with me. I didn't have to have a sitter. She was very flexible and very understanding of like everything that I went through. But she said also, she goes, I've never met someone who broke their tailbone during birth.
No, I'm glad. Thank goodness you're the only one. I mean, that is not what you want. So physical therapy really changed that. It got everything kind of back to normal as much as it could.
It did.
Post-trauma. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it turns out like, not only could I have sex again, but I could have really enjoyable sex again, which is something that I didn't think was going to happen after everything I went to. Like at that 6 month mark, I was just like, I don't know what the rest of my life looks like. This is just not going to be in the cards for me, but that all turned around.
Yay. And then you got pregnant again.
I did. I somehow, some way I decided that we would have another child. And
I think most ironic.
That's the beauty of forgetting what happens during that time period, no matter how traumatic that, you know, I had switched doctors at that point.
You probably think it's worth it too. I mean, I didn't think it was not going to be tough. I thought then you have this child and you feel better physically and you think, okay, it was worth it.
Mm-hmm. And I think absolutely.
Yeah. So you had a different doctor.
So I had to, we actually moved. So I found out I was pregnant with our second. We were still living in California and we moved to Baltimore, Maryland. Once again, everyone freaked out because I was so old to have a baby. I was almost 39. I interviewed four different doctors. All four were like, you're going to have to do a C-section. I said, nice to meet you. I will not be seeing you again. I finally found someone who didn't think I was ancient and let me have it the way I want it. I'm like, I'm not against having a C-section if it's medically necessary.
Right.
I am against, for myself, scheduling when I'm going to have this baby if she's not ready. And my first one was 2 weeks late because in California, they let you be pregnant forever, which I accept. In Maryland, they do not. So it came down to like me just not calling the doctor back after my due date. And my second one was 3 days late. So she was born in like 12 seconds. We barely made it to the hospital. Like,
isn't that crazy?
I wouldn't go to the hospital. I was like in labor, laboring at home on my birth ball, in the bath. I was just like, okay, this is how we're going to do this. I'm not going to the hospital and being there for 2 days before I even have a baby. My husband's like pacing nervously. He's like, let's just call. Maybe we just call. And I'm like, okay, just call, but I'm not going. Like, you're going to have to drag me to the car. And the doctor was like, well, there's no one here. Like, we're not going to send you home. Like, you can just come and stay and you can do what you want to do here, but you'll be here just in case. As soon as we got in the car, my water broke. I was like having full on contractions. I was like, ooh, we got to go. The hospital's like 20 minutes away. We walked in. The receptionist is laughing at me. She's like, you'll be fine. Have a seat. We'll triage you in a minute. And I'm like, oh, you don't understand. This is my second. This person is coming out of my body right now. And she's like, okay. I'm freaking out every mom in the waiting room. And I got into a gown and I had her. The doctor wasn't even in the room.
But how healing was that situation compared to the first?
I always say I deserve that. After the first one, like I deserved that moment. She was born. She was on me. She like nuzzled her way like up to my breast immediately. I was like, this is what people talk about. This I get.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. And no more after that?
No more after that. I'm so ancient. Who would have another child?
I didn't want to bring up your advanced maternal age again, but like 45, you're nearly dead. So
I mean, basically.
Your eggs are, I gave my husband a hard time. He's like, well, you kept your ovaries when you had your hysterectomy. I'm like, yeah, my eggs are freeze-dried if you like them that way. If you want, I mean, there's nothing wrong with a good dehydration process, you know?
Right?
But anyway, tell me when you, now you kept going back to yoga after that first time, and mm-hmm. you went to physical therapy. At some point, your entrepreneurial.
You got this.
There we go. I can do it. My brain's dried like my eggs. That's fine. That spirit kicked in. And I know for many, many, many of us, you know, like I didn't become a doula before kids. I became a doula after my first delivery. And it wasn't mm-hmm. even that it was a bad experience or traumatic, but a lot of women get into birth work of some sort because they felt alone or it was traumatic or there was an issue and they thought, I can bridge this gap. That so mm-hmm. women don't have to feel the way I feel. So I want you to tell us about your business and when did that happen with the kids being born?
Absolutely. Well, I've been a certified personal trainer since 2006. So, I mean, like my whole adult life, essentially. I became a postpartum wellness specialist while I was pregnant and did my yoga certification while I was pregnant. Because I was like, this would be cool to like, once I have kids, like I could work with other moms that have kids and they could be in my home studio and I could train and the kids could play. And I had this whole kind of vision of things. Mm-hmm. Then you have a baby and you're like, oh, with what time would you like to do this? That's a nice thought.
While breastfeeding. Okay.
It's going to be amazing. The kids are going to just sit there. They'll read books. So
we'll
right?
bring goats in. Like it'll be fine.
Okay. It'll be fine. We'll all work out. But right about that, when I started going to pelvic floor therapy and I started having this relationship with my pelvic floor therapist, and she's like, you wouldn't believe the number of people that I see that one don't know I exist, like at all, not just me, like the profession.
Yes.
Two, all around the world, there's so many more countries that this is part of the natural postpartum journey. You go to internal fit therapy. Everyone goes, not just the people that have problems. Everyone goes to get everything looked at. It's like a normal follow-up. You just don't get your 6 weeks and you're good and you're done and you're a parent. Congratulations. She's like, so that we started talking about like the frustrations of that, of like, if I don't know you exist in Southern California, I'm sorry, where in the country do I know you exist? Like this is, I told her, I wish I had someone to like hold my hand to be like, here's the exercises you need to do. Here's what you need to eat if you're breastfeeding or if you're not breastfeeding, just healing your body after giving birth. Here's the mind work that you need to do because this shit is hard. Like this is not easy. This is not an easy transition into motherhood, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you have a ton of help with family or you're working, whatever your situation, everything, every aspect of it has its hardships and every aspect of it has its benefits. And I'm like, I just wanted like a roadmap to be like, what do you do as a mom? Like, I want that book. I want, not for my baby, there's plenty of those, but I want that map for myself to like how to feel like myself again after having this baby. So like we had all these conversations and I was talking to my husband about it. And I was like, I think I want to come up with just like the physical side. Cause that was like what my background was in doing the personal training, come up with like a situation, like at 6 weeks postpartum, you're cleared to go, but you really shouldn't be. Like you really shouldn't be cleared for all exercise because it's not good to kind of jump back into where you were before. So I put together a 6 week program and took a group of moms from the hospital. We all had kids around the same time through this 6 weeks of, it was yoga, it was strength training. It was mostly body weight stuff, but stuff that you didn't need a lot of space. You didn't need a lot of equipment and you didn't need a lot of time. So it was like 20 minutes. You could break it up as many times as you needed to throughout the day. And I took people through this. And I just fell in love with it. I was just like, this is what you realize, like moving your body physically, how much that does for your mental and emotional health, which everybody knows. But until you do it as a mom, you're like, wow, this is worth it. And I know no one has time. Nobody has time for this or time for that. So I've just kept it simple. My programming has morphed through the years. Now I'm focused on a 12-week program and it's all encompassing. It's that physical, mental, and emotional connection piece to just really find your spark again. So you can wake up in the morning and like look forward to have a great day and just really feel like yourself again and be a better everything for everyone else. Because really, let's be honest, like most people, most moms won't do something if it's just for them because we just won't, but the lucky part is like, if you take some, I say 2% of the day, you take 2% of the day and dedicate it to you, like everyone in your world benefits.
I so agree. you have, well, you have all your notes, your links are in the show notes, but you have a website, you have a private Facebook group that people can join, your Instagram, you offer, like you have testimonials and podcasts you've been on, but you also offer free something. Some example exercises. Am I right? What am I remembering?
Yeah, I have a free guide that's how busy moms prioritize their own health. And it's a fun like bingo game because it's, you know, not a lot to think about. No equipment, very little space. And the beauty of it is you can do it in your work clothes. So if you're at the office, you can easily sneak these in, or working from home, you don't need to change. But there's like little ways to sneak in this mindful movement throughout the course of the day.
And I love you also have the 7-day wellness. Like you have inexpensive options for people
Absolutely.
Who want to do something, but like aren't ready to commit to maybe coaching. And you have lots of different things. You have sample workouts.
I have so many free in the Timeout for Moms Facebook group. I do freebie Fridays at least twice a month. And they're just like the last one I did was like a free self-care planner. And it's just like a little PDF of you to fill out. Like, what are you going to do this week? Because part of the problem is we don't plan on ourselves.
I agree.
We plan like how many hours we're going to be in the car, getting our kids to their activities and what we're going to maybe have for dinner. But we don't plan on that self-care stuff for ourselves. So I have a ton of freebies in the Timeout for Moms Facebook group.
Yeah, I love it. I want to make one comment because you mentioned your first child had torticollis, and that's a really stiff neck that can often happen just during, even if there's no trauma in a natural vaginal birth or you have a C-section. You know, babies are going through a lot through the birth process too, and that's like a stiff neck, or it makes it painful to turn. It can be very difficult for them to breastfeed. They're in a lot of pain. So for people who heard that and aren't sure what it is, that is what it is. I always recommend my moms get themselves and the baby checked chiropractically, because it's a really easy adjustment. But if you don't do it, it's, as you can attest to, like you have this demon child who never stops screaming. What did you do to help with that? Did you breastfeed the kids successfully? Like,
so I was able to breastfeed on one side. So I breastfed on one side, the side she could turn towards. And then I pumped on the other side and then would feed her what I pumped on that side. And then we did start physical therapy right at 3 weeks. And it was a lot of stretching. I mean, she literally looked like her head was on sideways. Like if she took, like if you, hers was pretty, pretty severe. And then they gave us kind of like a rolled up soccer sock to put while she was sleeping to kind of train the muscle. But the pediatric physical therapist was amazing. We worked with her from the 3 week mark until almost 4 months. And she was so much stronger because of it. Like she warned us, she was like, she may crawl early and walk early because she is going to be stronger than the normal 3 month old. And sure enough, as predicted, like she's been a mover and a shaker ever since. So
it's just good to know, because not all babies show it, where you look at them and you're like, okay, something's off here. It can be just that they're crying more and that they have difficulty nursing on one side over the other. It's not as obvious. So for moms who have babies where you feel like, oh, they're colicky or they're crying a lot, or I don't know what's wrong and she's rejecting my left breast, get them checked. Get them checked out by a PT or a chiropractor.
Absolutely. For a chiropractor can do it too, because the first thing they asked when we went in for like initial consult is, when you go up to wake to pick her up in the morning, is she always looking to one side? Or when she's in the stroller, is she always looking to one side? And for my daughter, it was very obvious.
Yeah.
But we had another friend who had like a very mild case and went in and didn't have to do physical therapy or anything, did a chiropractor adjustment, and then did use like a kind of prop while they were in the stroller and while they were laying down like flat on their back when they slept at night. And it was like a very easy fix. And it a very easy fix, not only for their neck, but for their whole demeanor, because they were just in pain.
Yeah. And that can be the issue a lot of times. So I wanted to make sure we didn't let that one slide, just to address it, because moms feel like they're failing and doing something wrong if things aren't going well, if they have a baby who's crying or they're having trouble breastfeeding. And so yes, definitely want it. So you created the Great Days for Mom Method program from your experience to empower moms.
I did. And that's what I told my physical therapist on our last day together when we were talking about it. I'm like, I wish there was this. I wish there was this. And she's like, well, what's your next step? What are you going to do? And I was like, I'm going to create it. And she looked at me dead in the eye and she was like, I kind of believe you. I'm going to do it. Yes. This is where I'm going to spend my time and energy. And obviously now I have a 7 and 5 year old. So more time is spent towards my business. My 5 year old's in preschool and I do a lot while she's gone, and it's kind of morphed and changed as you know, my life has, and it will continue because nothing is stagnant in motherhood or life in general.
No, it's not. But at least you understand what it's like to have a painful body, to have postpartum depression to the point of considering suicide. You know, did you ever go on medication for depression? Did you ever get seen for depression specifically?
You know, I didn't, not for depression. I had no history of depression, no history of anxiety, but I did go on medicine probably 3 months into the pandemic for anxiety, and I've never gone off of it. Okay. It was the best decision I ever made. Mm-hmm. And I try to say that whenever I can, because there's something in my body that shifted, that I was having panic attacks. I'm like a lot of people during the pandemic. It was like, you know, use the uncertainty, the unknown, but the trigger for me was I was driving with my kids and I basically like had tunnel vision and I thought I was going to go off the road. And it was the beginning of a really bad panic attack. And from there on in, my doctor was like, it's a very low dose of Lexapro, but your brain needs this. Like, you, for whatever reason, have stopped regulating and can't pull yourself out of it. You need this. And every time I go in, I'm like, well, maybe I could try without it. She's like, I would not take a diabetic off their insulin. And that to me sticks.
Okay.
Of like,
I'm
you know,
so
what?
Glad I asked. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I think there's a stigma behind like, you needed medication or this is who you are now. And it's not. It's something that's happening that you can address, similarly to lots of other things that happen postpartum or not, but especially postpartum. So I'm so glad I asked that question. Where should people start when they find you? And like, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you, to jump in, and to start looking at your information and working with you?
Absolutely. I think the easiest spot to start is Instagram. It's Great Days by Sarah. And just shoot me a DM and we can connect that way. And if you're on Facebook, I have a Facebook group called Time Out for Moms, Wellness, Accountability, and Support. It'll just ask you like 3 quick questions and then I can accept you into the group. And then you can see all that. I have a whole category of like freebies. Go in and look and see which ones apply for you. And all of them are always there. So if you have any questions about those, I can shoot you that way also.
Sarah, thank you so, so much for being so open and honest about your journey. It was a pleasure talking with you.
This was so great. Thank you so much for having me on, Jennifer. I'm so excited to be connected.